Hola amigos, ¿qué tal? It's Stuart here from Spain Speaks with a weekly review video with Johnny. We'll check out some of the things that have caught Johnny's attention this week, so let's go to the video.
All right, Johnny, how are you today?
Yeah, good, Stuart. 40 degrees in Madrid, so boiling.
You've got the shutters down?
Have, got to keep the flat warm at all costs. cool at all costs, I mean.
Oh, I was going to say, trying to keep it warm. You're doing the opposite of most people, that's it.
Yeah.
So, in a bit of a heat wave at the moment, right?
Indeed, yeah. Yeah, very warm.
Yeah, I've heard that extreme temperatures are being felt around the country. I think down in Andalusia, very hot in the high mid to high 40s, I think, and Mediterranean areas as well, also very hot, and in Madrid and the central part of the country.
Yeah, well, the heat in the city tends to stay trapped within the city, doesn't it? So.
Well, yeah, I think the problem that Madrid has in particular is that the concrete sort of absorbs the heat all day and it just stays around all night.
Yeah. Well, it has been very warm. I've had some uncomfortable nights as a result of the heat.
That's it. But you've got the air conditioning, right?
Well, I've got the under-the-floor cooling system, which...
It works,
but... It's times like this when I do kind of miss a proper air conditioning system.
Yeah. Have you got a pool close that's open?
Yeah, I've got a pool in my building, so I can take.
Oh, there's one in the building.
Yeah, so I can take advantage of that.
Okay. Yeah. Have you got a public one close by?
I think there's one. Maybe in like Fuencarral is maybe the closest one.
Oh, okay.
I think there's one up there, but yeah.
So there's one in the neighborhood somewhere.
Yeah.
All right, good. What's on the agenda this week, Johnny?
Well, sticking with our theme of the heat wave, energy prices are going through the roof at the moment. So to give you some context, obviously there was the change in the tariff system this year. But at this time last year, the price of electricity per megawatt was about 40 euros, and it's currently at 115 euros per megawatt, so a massive increase.
Yeah, and it's a Europe-wide thing, right? It's not just Spain.
Yeah, it's Europe-wide. Obviously, a lot of people have been upset with this change in the electricity tarification for a while now. I think even Podemos are getting in on the protests, but central government doesn't want to intervene in the market, although they're saying, you know, we've subsidized solar panels, electric cars. I think they even reduced the tax rate on the electricity bill as well, from 21 to 10% VAT.
Yeah, well, I think they announced today that they're looking at maybe setting up a state energy company.
Ah, interesting. Well, there's obviously the state. There's obviously the operator Red Eléctrica, which runs the network of electricity transmission.
But what I think they mean is to set up the energy companies in Spain. I think there was a public one before, but of course they were all privatized back in the 1990s. And the idea, I think, is to go back to have one of those state-run companies where they can control prices if they need to, rather than have it in the hands of the free market.
That's interesting. I have to look into that some more. But yeah, essentially what you're saying is the free market determines the electricity price, and it's all based on I think it's CO2 emission rights, and obviously with kind of
something like that.
Yeah, and I think with obviously all the climate change awareness that's going on right now, the CO2 emission rights are going up in price, and that's what's causing electricity consumption to increase in cost.
Yeah, well, there was a complaint last week. I think I read that the government went to Europe to complain officially that the current energy policies of the European Union were favouring countries like Poland and Germany, who were trying to transition from coal energy onto more greener types of energy. And I think Spain was complaining that that all of the things that Europe is doing is in favour of those countries, and countries like Spain, whereas we know, Johnny, for a lot of people, salaries are not very high. You know, a lot of people are now having trouble paying energy bills, can't put the air conditioning on in the peak of the summer months, and also heating costs during the winter. So, you know, countries in the south of Europe, unfortunately, suffering the European Union's energy policies.
That's what I read as well. I can't remember what her name was, the lady from the government, but she was saying...
Teresa Rivera.
Yes, that's her, yeah. She was saying that the policy is all about the other countries that are behind Spain in the energy transition, getting them caught up. Because actually, when you think about it, particularly Madrid, I feel like I've noticed quite a lot of progress in terms of move towards renewable energy and you know, sustainability.
Well, there was a push a while ago. I think one of the governments back in the mid-2000s really pushed greener energy sources, but the policies went a bit, they went off the rails, and it, you know, then it, that led to another government that came in and put a sun tax on renewable energy, so people weren't really encouraged to put solar panels on the roof. But I've mentioned this a few times over the last few days that I have noticed in my neighbourhood, Johnny, I mean, it's more difficult if you live in a flat, obviously, because you have to get everybody on board with solar panels. You know, you can't put them on your roof individually in a flat, I don't think. But if you're living in a house, you can, of course. And I have noticed over the last 6 months or so that you know, solar panels are popping up in the area.
Yeah. I think if you lived in a flat, you'd have to go through the owners' committee and owners' community, right? Raise it as a proposition and then get it passed through.
That would be the difficult thing. Unless everybody in the building was willing to put them on the roof, you know, I don't think you could put two up there for yourself, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And probably by having them, your community costs would go up as well.
Maybe they would. But I don't know whether new constructions are forced to put solar panels on the roof. It could be the case, I'm not sure, but traditionally it wasn't the case. And although you do see a lot of photovoltaic plants around the country, the individual solar panel use hasn't really taken off, at least in places that I see, for example, you know, where I live. I mean, I live in a residential area, Johnny, where people do have, you know, individual houses, and it's not really that common in Spain for people to live in houses. The majority of people, I don't know what it would be, but 90% of the population live in flats. Because every Spanish city has the same layout, you know. It doesn't matter whether it's Madrid or Seville or Malaga, the majority of people live in flats. You know, it is difficult to get everybody on board if you want to stick solar panels on the roof. But energy prices very, very high, and of course the opposition parties are having a field day at the moment because they're really pressuring the government to do something about it. Which is why Ms. Rivera went to the European Union. All right, good. What's next, John?
Next, we've got car sales. So car sales, I think we talked about it a few months ago as well, but they're still down this at the moment. There's a lot of factors in play. So there's the likes of, obviously, the latest spike in the evolution of the pandemic and restrictions that have come as a result of that. A shortage of microchips, because a lot of cars have now got connectivity, so that's calling it up. I think there's a lack of vehicles in stock as well for a lot of producers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Not sure what the reasons behind that could be. Maybe related to supply chain planning. Not too sure. Economic uncertainty, of course. And then related to what we were saying before, kind of confusion over the future energy consumption policies related to cars.
Yeah, well, it is a question that I imagine a lot of people are asking themselves. If they are planning to buy a car, what do they buy? Do they do they go for a discounted diesel model that maybe will have problems in the future to get, you know, to pass the MOT test, or the ITV as they call it in Spain, because those cars are going to be cracked down on. There is a phasing out in at the moment. I think the government has planned to phase out diesels by 2035, I think it is. Is it 2035?
I had something like that, 2030, 2035. I think it's an EU-wide thing as well, not just in Spain.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of the initiatives are EU-led, because obviously the European Union, that's right. But the end consumer has that choice to make. What do they do? Do they go for an electric car now? Do they go for a hybrid model? Do they, as I said, try to pick up a cheap diesel, which are heavily discounted at the moment, or the gasoline model? That's the question that a lot of people are asking themselves. And I was reading the other day also, Johnny, that a lot of cities in Spain are now putting up these low emissions areas in the center of the city. I think 50 cities in Spain are obliged to do it by 2023, I think. was the date, I'm not sure, but in the near future. And of course, you probably, I mean, you don't own a car, do you, Johnny?
No, I have my license, but I don't have a car.
Okay. Yeah. So you probably noticed on cars, they have a like a sticker, a coloured sticker on the window. It's like a round sticker.
Yeah, yeah. I think I've seen it, yeah.
Which are either, I think they're Zero, Eco, B or C, I think, are the classifications.
Yeah, I've definitely seen it, yeah.
Yeah, and according to what sticker you have, you can enter these zones or not. And some cars don't have a sticker. If you've got an old car, you don't have a sticker.
Yeah.
And then that also determines how much you pay for parking in a city like Madrid and other cities around the country. So if you've got a C sticker, which is most commonly seen on diesel model cars, you pay more for public parking. And if you've got a zero emission sticker, you get free parking and free admission to those central areas, I think.
Okay. Is that irrespective of the color parking zone is? So like,
doesn't matter whether it's a blue in, well, in Madrid, the blue zone or the green zone, you can park anywhere you want for free.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's interesting.
If you've got a zero emissions.
Okay. Car. Okay. I see. Nice.
And the other ones, as I said, are eco, for hybrid models, I think, and the B and C.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's interesting what you're saying about what kind of car to pick, because at the moment, it's about half of all cars bought are normal petrol cars.
Yeah.
It's about 20% are diesel, and then the rest is kind of a mix of alternative energy sources, electric, hybrids, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, I imagine we spoke about this when we talked about the topic a few weeks ago, but if you buy an electric car, you've got two problems in Spain. You've got the problem of trying to find a place to charge it.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a car here in Portugal the other day. The guy had it parked right up on the curb, and he had a connection going into his house, and it was plugged into his car. So that's an option. But if you're living in a block of flats with there are some big blocks of flats in Madrid, for example, with 150 other people, and everyone's got a car, and there's only two or three electric points to charge, it could be a bit of a problem.
Yeah, definitely. You have to hope that maybe you live in a place where there's a garage underneath the building or whatever, and that within the garage, electricity charge point can be installed.
That's right. And charging points are popping up around the city. You are seeing more and more on a daily basis, but I don't think it's enough for the current demand of electric cars. And from what I've seen and from what people have told me, the big choice nowadays is a hybrid or a self-charging hybrid model, that you don't actually have to plug in.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes
sense. Which is why Toyotas are very popular.
Yeah, the likes of a Prius, for example.
I think all Toyotas now have hybrid engines, I think. I think that maybe they have some gasoline models, but the majority of Honda models now are hybrid.
Okay.
And you do see a lot around the place.
Yeah.
All right, good. What's next, John?
Yeah, so our last piece of news today, obviously a sad week for FC Barcelona fans. Lionel Messi has left the club after about 20 years playing there. Grew up in the club's academy. Unable to come to a deal due to La Liga's wage cap. And off he goes to Paris Saint-Germain.
Yeah. And what money's he on there? Has it been reported?
Yeah, 40 million euros a year. So it's 5 million euros more than I think Barcelona were going to offer him.
Yeah, that's right. So Barcelona's loss is PSG's gain.
Yeah. Not only have they lost the player, though, they've lost, I think it was the LA Times reported, about 137 million euros in revenue as a result of Messi's loss. That coming from jersey sales, from match day income, and from other sales.
Yeah. I heard something about the PSG Instagram account gained a huge amount of followers when Messi was even rumoured to be about to sign,
Where
he hadn't even signed yet, and it went from something like, I don't know the exact figures, but it was in the millions, And when he did sign, it was like a 4 million increase overnight.
Oh, yeah. I remember seeing the video on the account where they unofficial, well, they unveiled him. There was no picture of him in there, but, you know, it was a picture of Paris and you could see the Argentinian flag in there and you knew, it's happening.
So what was the problem with the salary cap then? So the Barcelona just couldn't afford to keep him anymore? Or what was the story?
Yeah, well, the club, I think, has been in financial difficulty for a while. And I don't know how they're actually exceeding the salary cap, because you think of the other players on that squad, I don't think there's maybe other players of Messi's level that would be getting paid similar amounts.
I heard the next highest paid guy there was the French guy, Griezmann, I think his name is.
Ah, yeah, Griezmann, yeah. Actually, yeah, so he might be getting a lot of money there. But, yeah, still, the fact that they couldn't take Messi, even on like such a low salary, the club must be in quite deep troubles financially if that's the case, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I heard that he offered to take a pay cut. I'm not sure what that was, whether it was half the amount he was being paid or something like that.
Yeah, well, it was 35, I think, that they were originally expected to have at Barcelona before everything fell through.
Yep, yep. I get the impression, because it's been in the press quite a lot recently, that the whole La Liga competition is in financial trouble. I think they've gone to the private equity markets to get access to quite a bit of cash. They were talking the other day about setting up a streaming service as well. Mm. And today there was something published as well that La Liga's done something and they're excluding Barcelona and Madrid from a financial deal. So things are heating up, because remember they tried to start that Super League 6 months ago.
Yeah. Interesting situation, yeah.
That's it.
But, it's definitely the end of an era in La Liga. Ronaldo left a couple of years ago and now Messi's gone.
Well, that's right. They've lost Ronaldo. Sergio Ramos was a big figure in Madrid. Mm-hmm. Messi. So who are going to be the stars of La Liga?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think there's... Who's left in Madrid? There's Marcelo, maybe, but not a big face. Benzema. But they're good players, but you can't see them as like the face of La Liga, I don't think. Not in the same way that Ronaldo or Messi.
No. Yeah. Well, I think those two players that you're talking about, I mean, I'm not a football expert, as everybody knows, but those two players, Ronaldo and Messi, that they took the La Liga to another level, you know, with the goal score. I mean, they were scoring, I think one season they scored 40 or 50 goals each, you know.
Yeah. I think I might be a little bit off on this, but I think in his time at Barcelona, I think Messi scored over 600 goals or something like that. Maybe really? Even 700, yeah.
Yeah. So obviously you can't replace a Messi overnight, and they're once in a generation player, I suppose.
Yeah. I'm sure La Liga will grow its own talent again one day, but for now, yeah, we have to wave goodbye to what's been a really good era of football in La Liga.
Yeah, well, I remember when I first came to Spain, La Liga wasn't so, well, I don't think it was even called La Liga back in the day, but it wasn't so reliant on international stars. I think there were restrictions. I think you could only have three international players in your team at one time, and there was a lot of national players that were promoted, you know, especially in Real Madrid, and I think even Barcelona was, people like Guardiola, you know, back in the day were the stars of the league. People like Fernando Hierro in Real Madrid, Butragueño, you know, those were the stars of the competition.
Yeah.
Before the internationals started crowding the teams.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll go back to that, because the Spanish national team is quite good at the moment. I mean, they did well in the Olympics. They did reasonably well in the Euro 2020 championship. So there is some talent there.
Yeah, and I think most of that national team plays in Spain as well. I can't think how many play outside of Spain, but yeah.
I don't know. I was watching the Chelsea Villarreal game on the telly last night, and even Chelsea had quite a few Spanish players in the team.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Morata plays for Chelsea.
I think the keeper was Spanish as well. Kepa, is he not?
Kepa, Spanish? Yeah, he played for Bilbao at one time. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. So there is a lot of talent out there. It's just a question of getting them back and giving them the promotion.
Yeah, let's see what happens.
I suppose that's the key. Yeah. All right, Johnny, anything else?
That's all for today, Stu.
Nothing about the rider law?
I haven't seen any further updates on that, but yeah.
Apparently it came into effect today.
Yeah, that's right. Today's the 12th of August. So, yeah, today was the day it became effective, yeah.
And there are rumours that companies have kept people on. They haven't made any changes yet to the way they hire staff from what I have read. So we'll see how that plays out over the next week or so.
Yeah, we'll have to keep an eye on that, yeah.
All right, Johnny, have a good one.
All right, Stu. Speak to you later.
All right, see you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So there we go. That was the weekly review video. Questions and comments, please leave them in the section below. Debate the situation out as you normally do. Give the video a thumbs up if you liked it, thumbs down if you didn't. I'll see you in the next one. Hasta luego.